You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Veronica Rickert. Coming up, we hear from a woman who was trafficked for sex as a teenager, and she'll talk about why it's dangerous to assume it can't happen in your own community. First, it's time for our weekly review of state news. It's been a huge week for political news with Donald Trump winning the White House. So we're going to cover some news from the past week that you might have missed in all the election and post-election analysis. One of these stories broke yesterday. Wisconsin Appeals Court voided an almost $300,000 judgment for demonstrators who were cited for holding signs during protests in 2011 against Governor Scott Walker's collective bargaining restrictions. Robert Menser joins us now, as he does every Friday at this time, to break down this and other top stories from the past week. He's a storytelling editor for the USA Today Network Wisconsin, based in Wausau. Rob, welcome back.
Hello. Thanks for having me back.
Well, over 5 years ago, Act 10 was in the news. Here's a little bit of what it sounded like.
When I say union, you say power. Union!
Power!
Union!
Power!
Union!
Power!
Union!
That's the sound of protesters in 2011 when Scott Walker introduced his bill restricting collective bargaining. That law is known as Act 10. And Rob, what's the latest ruling that voids a judgment for demonstrators?
Yes, so this was... Listeners, I guess, will have heard this and described in the top of the hour news there. But yeah, basically the judgment that awarded those protesters about $300,000 in damages and lawyer fees has been thrown out. This is a case where we all remember these protests, and it certainly seems like the First Amendment would protect political protesters doing political speech in a public place like the Capitol. And in fact, that is what was found, that it was First Amendment speech, so that was protected. It's also notable here that the actual state policy was changed in 2013. So the state had this policy that you could only have signs in a place if you had a permit to have signs. And so these folks who came to protest the Act 10 law brought with them signs, and then they got tickets for having signs where they weren't supposed to have signs. So that policy is gone. That administrative policy is gone. They were never arrested. This was like they were cited. This was ticketed. So they appealed, and they wanted to argue that this policy, whether or not it's in effect now, was unconstitutional. So a court found it was, and now in the latest ruling, court found that maybe it was, maybe it wasn't. But what they couldn't prove was that it was beyond debate that it was a violation of their constitutional rights, which is what's required to get those funds and damages.
So that was an appeals court. So is there a next step? Does it keep going and get appealed again, higher up?
So it could, right? But the Wisconsin State Journal, which reported on this, had the group's lawyer saying that it was unlikely that they would appeal it further. So this is probably the end of the line for this civil lawsuit. The thing to understand, all right, so we have the First Amendment, we have a right to free speech, political speech, but there are constitutional restrictions allowed by time, place, and manner. And so the finding was that somebody who wrote these protesters this ticket could have had a good faith understanding that what they were doing was not, they were not sort of setting about to violate anyone's civil rights, but they were enforcing a constitutional time, place, and manner restriction. But really, I mean, you could say I would still call it a sort of a moral victory for the protesters, because the fact is you can carry a sign in, you can do a protest in the Capitol if you want to.
We're talking with Rob Menser right now, storytelling editor for the USA Today Network Wisconsin, based in Wausau. And Rob, we're moving to some Great Lakes news now. The first invasive species in the Great Lakes since 2008 was just discovered. What is it?
Yes. So, well, what is it? It's the Thermocyclops crassus, which is, I think, a great name. I love that name. So it's a little tiny zooplankton that is brought over by these large ships, this particular organism was discovered. The EPA just released this week that it was discovered in the Great Lakes. It is the 186th invasive species in the Great Lakes, and we don't really know what the actual impact of this is. The risk with invasive species is always that they can, you know, if there is no sort of natural predator or, you know, check to their to them spreading in the new ecosystem, that they can take over and mess up the ecosystem. There's not evidence that that has happened here, but the fact that after some amount of success in keeping invasive species out, that this was discovered is certainly seen as a worrying sign by environmentalists, and some folks are saying it's an argument for stricter regulations on the ships that are coming in.
Right, and it sounds like what we're talking about here is something called ballast water, and it sounds like, maybe you can clear this up, but it sounds like these big ships come in and they have water from different parts of the world in these holding tanks to help right the ships, and then they enter Great Lakes water, and sometimes there's little critters in there that get off in the Great Lakes.
That's it. That's it. Exactly. Yeah, they hold the water as ballast to keep the ship steady. And there is a current regulation that they are supposed to dump that water in the middle of the ocean if they're coming from Asia or wherever, and take in mid-ocean water, which is less risky, or, you know, less likely to have these invasive species. There's also an EPA standard. They are beginning the sort of phasing in, according to this report, which the Journal Sentinel wrote about this. They're phasing in what are called ballast disinfection systems that are supposed to keep that water clean, but that has been a little bit controversial because there's, you know, on the environmental side, they say that the phase in goes too slow, that it's not, that there aren't protections enough.
So that's when we'll keep watching and maybe find out what the effects of this particular zooplankton might be down the road as well.
Thermocyclops crassus. Look for it.
You really like the name. All right. Well, we're going to move on to our final story with you, Rob. Election Tuesday, and there were a lot of local Wisconsin races on the ballot, but not necessarily a lot of candidates there. What happened?
Well, so this is an interesting story. Wisconsin Public Radio reported this, and the Associated Press picked it up. That what they're finding is not so much for these fall ballots, but for Wisconsin's spring elections for local offices. Nobody wants to run for local office. The League of Wisconsin Municipalities and the Wisconsin Taxpayer Association did a survey. They found that 52% of cities and villages overall say that it's a problem. Two-thirds of cities and villages with under 10,000 population have essentially no competition for their, you know, a town board or a city council or a county board. So you have unopposed races or just a blank ballot. And so, you know, it's not a total shock, because in a lot of cases rural places that have declining populations, it makes a little bit of sense that it would be hard to be getting harder to fill these offices. But it is a problem. It is a looming problem, because, in fact, they make a lot of decisions, and their decisions affect people's lives in these places.
Now, in several speeches this week post-election, Democrats in particular struck a tone encouraging civic engagement, wanting people to get out there and be more active in their communities, maybe running for office. Do you think that we may see more civic engagement after this last election?
You know, it is interesting. Clearly, there are a lot of Democrats who are feeling very, very dejected this week. And I will say, in 2009, when we saw the Tea Party movement start to take hold here in central Wisconsin, I recall seeing a lot of people running for local, you know, a school board, a county board, a town board office, who very much identified themselves as kind of Tea Party people who wanted to be part of that political movement. So it is a thing that happens. People, you know, often it's at the local level, the sort of grassroots level, that people get involved. It's, you know, who knows, right? It's a little early to tell, but to the extent that there's the Democratic Party or liberals in general have rebuilding to do from the bottom up, is often the way that happens.
Well, Rob, thanks a lot. We'll talk to you next week.
All right. Thank you.
That was Robert Menzer, storytelling editor for the USA Today Network Wisconsin, based in Wausau. And he joins us every Friday to talk about the week's top Wisconsin news stories.